podcast, we hear from a fantastic teacher who works at a school that have been heavily involved in the Multi-Schools Council. And she highlights the importance of getting involved, but also the importance of a therapeutic approach and why it's so important to have the support of all the teachers at school, but also to have the parents on board and make sure that the children are at the heart of every decision. Okay, so Sarah, why are you involved in the Multi-Schools Council?
So the Multi-Schools Council has been wonderful for us. We've been involved for several years now, not just with our children of our school council, but with our wonderful parent council too, who are incredibly supportive. Yeah. And we also have our inclusion ambassadors at Holland Park, which is a group of 10 amazing children who we felt would really benefit from having a voice, taking some pride in their school, children that we picked for all sorts of different reasons that we knew would benefit from all that you have to offer. And there are huge benefits that not just myself and the children, but the parents and the staff have reaped the rewards of. It's just been wonderful for all of us, really. And that's not just about the termly meetings, although that has put me in touch with so many wonderful people that we've included in our new things at school, but also your support and the things you've been able to come in and offer us as a school. So that's been brilliant.
Brilliant. You mentioned there, Sarah, about the inclusion ambassadors, which I think is brilliant. I think every school should have something along those lines. Can you just tell us a bit more about what they do in your school and their roles?
Yeah, so they're from Key Stage 2 primarily, and they were children that we sat as a staff really and discussed because we felt that they would benefit the most from having these opportunities. They needed a confidence boost. Some of them are with us for a variety of reasons, and we just knew they would thrive on having this responsibility and having that voice. And they all wear their badges with pride, and they run alongside our school council, and they've been involved in a number of projects at school with me and people who you've introduced me to, and projects like United in Kind and the Small Great Things project. They've run assemblies for us. They've done art workshops. They've been really good, and it's really given them a boost. And we're missing them all at the moment.
Yeah, I bet. Now, that's really lovely to hear, because unfortunately, as you all know, sometimes in schools, it's only the children that are confident to speak out that get opportunity. So what you've created there is brilliant. You also mentioned the parent council. Your school actually was the first school to bring parents along to a meeting, which was brilliant. Right. Why do you think it's important that, you know, we involve parents in these kind of things as well?
Oh, we think it's so important that they have a voice, because nobody knows their children better than them. Yeah. They are the experts at their children. They know exactly how things work for their child. We can put lots in place, but unless we get their feedback and their support, it's not worthwhile. So we offered this out, and we have representatives from every year group who join us for meetings and all sorts. They're very, very supportive. And we just find also they're a link between the parents and the staff. So other parents can go to them and ask questions, and then they can bring that to the meetings in school. And quite often that takes the pressure off the teachers as well. So it works both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope if there's like other schools listening to this podcast, they'll think, oh, that's a brilliant idea. Yeah, absolutely. With the inclusion ambassadors and with the parent council. So I know from speaking with you, Sarah, and just watching you around, you know, the other children, you've got a fantastic approach with the young people you work with. And we certainly need more people like yourself in education. I know that you've got a really therapeutic approach. Can you tell me a bit about like why or what your beliefs are around, you know, therapy and why it's important in schools?
Yeah, so as a school, as a whole school, we've been developing our ethos regarding behaviour, and we feel very strongly as a school that all behaviours are a form of communication. And we felt that we really needed to educate not just the staff and the children on this, but the parents too. You've been involved in that yourself. I know you've come in and helped us to all understand that until a child's mental health is in place and they're in a good place, they're not always able to access the classroom and the academic curriculum. So we felt that we really wanted to build the foundations by taking that sort of approach, a therapeutic approach that involves all children, all parents, all staff. And it is just changing perceptions. Yeah. All staff have now been trained in adverse childhood experiences, and we've had the trauma perceived practice as well.
Brilliant.
And then in January, we opened our Nurture Suite, which is a lovely space that's been designed to replicate the home environment. And it offers children that struggle to access the academic curriculum and children that don't cope necessarily very well in that classroom environment. And we're offering them an alternative approach to enable them to access everything that school has to offer. Yeah. So it's a provision that enables them to discuss their emotions, to learn to work together, to respect each other. They're building resilience. And we meet every day. They come to us every afternoon for routine, for root structure, but most of all fun. And they're learning about their emotions through a variety of different ways. We play lots of games. We talk all the time, and they're just offered a really nice learning space where they've built up really good relationships with the adults in this room and the parents. They're key. Obviously, we need the parents on board. They're hugely supportive. And we just have found that the children are responding really well to this. It's just such a shame we've had to have this pause when we were all enjoying working together so well. But yeah, so it is a therapeutic approach. It's all about praise. It's all about communicating. It's all about understanding their emotions. And they are enjoying it. And we finish every day sitting around the dining table, having tea, eating crumpets and sending the children off in a good place, making sure they're happy and they've had what they need that isn't necessarily academic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I share everything that you've said, Sarah, but also it's so lovely to hear how you've described it, because you've actually built on, we had another podcast that a head teacher from Essex, a special school in Essex, released. He spoke about the importance of the whole team and having a whole team approach, and you've touched on the importance of understanding that within the Nurture Suite, as you said. And also, you'll be pleasing some of the young people. We went out and visited some schools and they did a good practice seekers visit. And one of the top things they highlighted was about having an area just like you've described. You've said about children being able to access it. I know from speaking with you before, Sarah, you've worked in education for a little while. Do you think that the need for things like a Nurture Suite and, you know, different provisions to support behaviour, has that need increased? And if so, why do you think that is?
Yes, definitely. We've noticed that as a school, and we're very lucky that our senior leadership team are totally on board. And it comes from them primarily. And we have all noticed over the years, you know, over the years of just being in the classroom, that children's mental health is an issue now. I think it's for a variety of reasons. I think society has changed and the way we live has changed over the years. I don't think it's necessarily because of negative reasons, but I also think children have a lot more pressure on them now, though. There's a lot more pressure to succeed. There's a lot more peer pressure. And I think, obviously, screens can be a huge issue. I think, you know, children are on social media. That piles pressure on them as well.
Yeah.
So we have noticed a spike in children's mental health, and we just felt that it was something that we needed to approach as the whole school and make sure these children know where we are and what we can offer them.
No, definitely. And I think it's refreshing to hear that from a school perspective as well, because I think maybe even 10, probably even 5 years ago, if we were to talk about nurture rooms, you know, breakout spaces, almost would have been looked at like, what do we need that for? I've had conversations before as well with teachers, not as recently as talking to you, but who have said, it's not our responsibility, you know, to support mental health. And actually, that's so wrong for all the reasons you described, Sarah. So,
and until their mental health is in place, we can't expect them to learn and
absolutely
sit in a classroom environment.
Yeah, and that is the bottom message that I hope people are kind of getting from this podcast. You've mentioned a couple of times about how this time is obviously difficult for everybody. Yeah. It will be for children as well. And I just want to get your initial thoughts on transitions back to school are going to be difficult for many reasons. We've spoke to some young people about this. Yeah. Does the school have any plans in place on how they're going to support those transitions or initial thoughts on what they could do?
So they definitely will, knowing how important the children's mental health is to us as a school. I think it will need to be a whole school approach. I think when it happens will be key, because if it was to happen sooner rather than later, I think we'll be glad to all get back together and finish the academic year in a joyous way. However, I think if it's to take longer than anticipated, I think that will have a huge impact, because those key transition times will be lost for a lot of children. I think that will alter the approach that is taken. And I think parents are going to be just as anxious, and I think the staff will be too. I know the thought of going back out into the big world, wide world again is quite a scary one. So I think it'll be a question of easing the children in gently and making sure they have fun and that they can talk, and there'll be lots of discussion, lots of discussion, lots of fun, lots of interaction and lots of build-up, really. I think it will all depend on when this happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the hard thing, which is why nobody has a clear answer yet on, you know, what we can do, because we're not at that point just yet. But I love the way, Sarah, you've explained about, you know, the importance of fun and the importance of social interaction, because that's what our young people are telling us.
That's good. Yeah. I would imagine so. It's just making sure that they're at the heart of everything that we offer them when we return, isn't it? Just as we always do, but I think it's going to be more important than ever.
No, definitely. So, I mean, if there are kind of parents from different schools that are listening to this right now, and obviously children as well, what would be your kind of final messages of support and positivity? Because you're such a positive person, Sarah. It'd be great to kind of, get those words out there.
I would say hang in there. Make the most of this time with your family. That's what we're trying to do. It's almost like pressing a reset button, and all of a sudden we've got the time to do the things that we haven't had the opportunity to do before, like leaving our house at 5 o'clock yesterday morning to watch the sunrise.
Oh, wow.
When else would you do that?
Absolutely.
You have that opportunity. So I think as a family, just make the most of your time together and look forward to the future when we can all be together again. But for now, I would say stay at home, stay safe. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you, Sarah. You've covered so much there, and the importance around inclusion ambassadors, putting children at the heart of education, and also involving parents within that as well. So I hope people, and I know you will, take lots from this podcast. So thank you very much, Sarah.
No, thank you. And keep doing what you're doing. You're doing amazing.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone. So let's start today.